cool.
We'll try it and see.
Okay. Let's turn in our Bibles. You got your Bibles with you. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, and we're going to look at verses 5 through 8. All right. It's been nice to enjoy the picnic and the good singing and to tell the truth. That's not bad at all, is it, huh? In fact, that's what we're going to just consider this afternoon for a little while. It was going to be this morning, but now it's afternoon. But we're going to look at what it means to live in the flesh or to live in the Spirit. Because while we're taking the theme of walking in the Spirit so that we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh, we have to identify which life we're really living. Because you have two different lives, the same way as to tell the truth. Have the truth, also have the faults. Sometimes it's hard to tell the difference. So the Bible makes it very clear to us as we look at it in Romans chapter 8. Follow with me as I read in verse 5, and we'll read through verse 8. Romans 8:5 says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be fleshly or carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal or fleshly mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be." And verse 8, "So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God." Shall we ask the Lord to help us understand the word that we've read and add His richest blessing to it? Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the beauty of the outdoors. And now as we enjoy the wonder of Your word, we pray that it might be put in a special place in our hearts, treasured as it were, so that we might not sin against You. Lord, help us to understand the difference of the flesh and the Spirit, and especially these two mindsets. For we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, you know, it's not really mind over matter, that if you think it hard enough, it's going to come true. But what's in the mind does matter. And I'm not talking about the gray matter that's in the mind, but the things that you're really thinking. The Bible says that as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So as we think of our thoughts, it's good to recognize which thoughts are of the flesh and which thoughts are of the Spirit. Because you see, the way I think is going to determine the way I walk. If I'm going to walk in the Spirit, then I have to think spiritual thoughts so that I'll be directed in my walk. Now, what you've got in verses 5 through 8 of the book of Romans is really living in the Spirit. We're talking life and death. Even as you notice in the things we were reading, it's as different as night and day, life and death, truth, and even that which is false. But for a person who's not discerning, I tell you what, I was tricked. I thought for sure Aunt Ruth had been in China and Hong Kong. And it made perfect sense to me that Hong Kong was not under communist rule at that particular time. I would have voted for the false. I would have never guessed the truth in some of those particular events. The rapper, I was on to it. But all the rest, they threw me a curve. There's no doubt about it. But you know, when the flesh and the Spirit are operating, sometimes they throw us a curve too. Because there's some people that in the flesh, they seem so, well, I don't want to say righteous, but I'll say so religious. They seem to be playing the part. Sometimes the world falls for that which is false. So we're going to talk about the living according to the flesh and living according to the Spirit. Now the way we're going to identify them is we're going to make a little list out of the verses we've read, just those few verses. We're going to see the things that are characteristic to the mindset of the flesh, and then the things that are characteristic to the mindset of the spirit. And then with the Lord's help, we're going to figure out how we can take care of the faults of our lives so that we live in the way that leads us to walk in the spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. First, life according to the flesh. The mindset of the flesh has certain characteristics. If you live, in verse 5, as it says, according to the flesh, your mindset is on the fleshly things, the things of the flesh. You're thinking, well, let me ask you, personal pronouns. What are your favorite personal pronouns? Tell me some of them. Me, I heard one of them. That's the one I was looking for. And I, mine, those are the favorite personal pronouns that we all have. Now, some of us don't want to admit it, but all you have to do is listen to your own conversation. It's good to do that from time to time to find out what you're talking about. If you go back to Romans chapter 7, you read the things that Paul was saying. In fact, I counted 40 times Paul used either one of those three personal pronouns. I, me, or mine. Romans chapter 7 is really the struggle of the flesh and the old sinful nature that's all centered on me. I guess it's still up-to-date expression we have. It's all about me. Okay, and soon it won't be up-to-date. Maybe it's already out. But you see, we usually catch these things a little bit later. Okay, but it's really not all about us. But someone who's living in the flesh, it is all about them. We're really talking about the mindset of the person who's not saved. Someone who's not a believer in Christ. All he thinks about is I, me, or mine. So you not only have the mindset on the flesh, if you're living according to the flesh. Verse 6, you know what it says? It says to be carnally or fleshly minded is death. You mean it's that serious? It's exactly that serious. It's that much of a deal, because not only that, but in verse 7, it says that the carnal mind, again, we're talking of mind things, the way we think, the carnal or fleshly mind is an enemy against God. Why is that? Well, because everything that God says, we're against if we don't know the Lord. So the unsaved person or the lost person is always against anything that God says. He doesn't want to accept the fact that all of us are sinners, that those who have sinned, which is everybody, deserves the penalty of death. And we always think there's a way around it and a way to excuse it. But the mind set on the flesh is death and enmity. Not only that, but verse 7 goes on to say it's not subject to the law of God. Rebels against any kind of law. Even from the Old Testament we see this, but especially in the New. We were enemies and we refused being subject to anyone. You know, the day in which we live, it's a day of rebellion. And whatever happens, people will refuse any kind of rulership from the Lord. They're not subject to the law of God. Here's an amazing phrase. It says, nor indeed can be. Even if the flesh wanted to subject itself to God's rulership, it couldn't do it. It just would not work. Why? Well, in verse 8 tells us why, and this is the last fact about the flesh. It says, so then, those who are in the flesh cannot. It doesn't say will not or don't, but cannot please God. Impossible. I'd like to ask a little bit of participation from any of you here. Identifying the fleshly mindsets, or the mind that's set on the flesh, what are some of the things that unsaved people, lost people, try to do in order to please God? Now, maybe you remember what you tried to do. Yes. Go to church. I'm going to start going to church and living right. Yes. Give money to the church. And? Good deeds. That's right. Anyone else? Those are three main ones. Yes, Jim. New Year's resolution. It only comes once a year, lasts about one day a year, right? Okay, I see another hand. Read the Bible. Okay, these are all good things, aren't they? All good things, but they won't save you. But they try, in order to please God, doing these things. Anyone else? Anybody baptized before they were saved? I was. Yes. Were you baptized before you were saved? You know what that made you, don't you? An old wet sinner. Right? I was baptized before I was saved. Then when I trusted the Lord, couldn't wait to be baptized. It really meant something. It was like the truth, to tell the truth, and error. And everybody that saw me baptized, they said, oh, isn't it great to baptize? Then I went right off into my own way, thinking everything was all right. It doesn't work that way, does it? And yet the flesh always tries to please God, but you know what? It won't work. Why? Why? Yes. Because it's not
God's order of doing things.
It's not God's order of doing things. What does it take to please God? You know, yes, Jim. Faith. That's Romans chapter 11, verse 6. That without faith it is impossible to please God. For those who believe or, you know, really seek the Lord, they must believe that He is and that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. There's only one way to please Him, and that's by faith. Even when the Lord Jesus was born, the angels proclaimed, glory to God in the highest and peace on earth. Goodwill toward men, literally, and goodwill toward men with whom God is pleased. But He's only been pleased with one person in all time and history, and that is, He's pleased with His Son. And in Christ, and only in Christ, as Jim mentioned, by faith in Christ, can anyone ever please God. For without faith, it's impossible to please God. Isn't it amazing that the flesh is always trying to look religious and look like it's pleasing God, but the truth that really tells is that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Well, let's look in verse 5 again. Because you not only have the fault, but you've also got the truth. Those who are not living according to the flesh, that's the unregenerate, our unbelievers, the lost people. But then you have those who are living according to the Spirit. And that's really what we want to major on, and we will for the rest of the time this afternoon. Verse 5 says, those who set their minds according to the Spirit or live according to the Spirit, they're setting their minds on the things of the Spirit. And then it gives two more characteristics. Verse 6 is the first one, and also right after it is the second. It says to be spiritually minded, first of all, is life and peace. Now, if you were to talk to people that didn't know the Lord, those would be the things that they really say they're looking for, but they're looking for them in all the wrong places. But you see, once you come to Christ, then you get exactly what you're looking for, because all things are provided in Him. When we put our trust in Christ, realizing He died for us, was buried and raised again, and lives for us, and we realize what we're doing when we put our trust in Him is we're dying to ourselves. Now we're entrusting our eternal destiny to Him. And you know what He gives us back? Life and peace. The very things that the world is looking for in all the wrong places. So how do we set our mind on the things of the Spirit? It's a spiritual exercise. Can't be done by the flesh because there's no imitations allowed. This has to be real. It has to be life. It has to be truth in order to be beneficial and a blessing to anyone's life. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, that it's the transforming of our lives by the renewing of our minds. You see, if you think the right thoughts, you do the right things, and you walk in the right way. And without thinking the right thoughts, you can't do the will of God and walk in the Spirit. So what do we do? Now we can distinguish between the faults, the flesh, and the truth, the Spirit. How do we determine in our lives, because temptations come into our lives just like they do into anyone's life? some of the areas that temptation comes in, first of all, just as I was observing our contestants on To Tell the Truth, I would try to watch some of their expressions, some of their actions to see if they were confident in what they were saying. And you know, watching with my eyes, I was still tricked. I went by the things I saw. Threw me off completely. One of the areas or avenues of temptation is through the things that we see, isn't it? We're really given to be people of sight. And many times we go by sight instead of by faith. Well, the Spirit is to walk by faith in the Spirit, but many times we fall prey and we open our eyes to the things that come into our lives. So the eye gate is one of the major problems that we have to deal with in order to be those who are living and thinking according to the Spirit and walking in the Spirit. Another area, our gate into our life, is right through our ears, the things that we hear. Whether it's the music, or whether it's the things on television, the things that other people say, all these things come into our lives through our ears as well as through our eyes. Where do they go from there? That's really the question, isn't it? They go through our eyes and through our ears. The very first place, if you would line up some front lines of defense, is they're going to go into our mind. I'd like to suggest we consider the SDI, not Strategic Defense Initiative, but the Spiritual Defense Initiative. What are our spiritual defenses in order to determine and also to decide which way we're going to walk? Are we going to walk in the Spirit, or are we going to walk in the flesh like the old nature once led us? Or we're going to walk in the Spirit. So in the Spiritual Defense Initiative, this is what we have to do. Everything that comes through my eyes and through my ears goes into my mind. That's the front line of defense, and I've got to stop it right there. If it gets past the front line of defense of my mind, the very next line of defense is going to be my heart. You see, in my mind I can think about it, but in my heart, you know what I do is I meditate on it. And from my heart, if I've meditated on it, if I let it still go on and I don't stop it in my heart, I'll tell you where it goes next. It goes right up from my heart to my lips. It becomes negotiation. I begin to talk about it. And as I talk about it and negotiate it, the next place it travels is to my hands or my feet to take action and to commit it. Once it goes to my hands, you find out that we follow and fall into the same category that Eve did, that Achan did, that David did. Eve saw that the tree was good for food. She really considered it. And then she took it. She ate it. She gave to her husband Adam, and he ate it. Someone said, first woman ate the first man out of house and home. True. And then even when they were discussing it, when the Lord dealt with them on it, it was kind of like To Tell the Truth, wasn't it? You know? I mean, Adam blamed Eve. Eve blamed the serpent. The serpent didn't have a leg to stand on. It was all over, you see. Did you think also about Achan? Do you remember Achan? He saw the Babylonian garment. He saw the gold. He saw it. He took it. He hid it. And death came into his life too. Same way with Eve and Adam. Same way with Achan and all of his family. And then you think of David. David, a man after God's own heart. When he walked out on the rooftop instead of going to war, in the spring of the year when everyone went to war, King David stayed at home. He saw Bathsheba. He inquired about her. He took her sin and hid the matter. You can't hide it from the Lord. You see, this is the whole process, isn't it? Through the eyes, through the ears, into the mind, down to the heart, into the lips, and then it becomes the deep. Have you ever considered the progression of desire or temptation? James tells us that desire it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it has conceived, it brings forth death. So death would be desire's grandson or granddaughter, right? Desire to sin to death. All these things tell us exactly what the mindset of the flesh is. The temptation that comes, the sin that's committed, and death as the result. But for the believer, it ought not to be that way. Because now, we've got a new mind. We're renewing our mind. But we've got to catch some of the old way of thinking at the very first front line. Because if we don't catch it in the mind, and it gets to the heart, it's very difficult to get it out. And if it gets to the lips, the negotiation, you're almost a dead duck. Only the Lord's grace and power can deliver you at that point. And then once it becomes an action, then you've got a scar on your life that'll stay there forever. Now the Lord forgives you. And the Lord forgets it. And He'll never remember it again. But you'll remember it till the day you die. You see, God wants to spare us these things. That's why He says, so I say, walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So let's work through something just for a moment. Just take another moment. When temptation, it rears its head in our life, does every day, what do we do with it? We want to catch it at the front line. Would you turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 10? Take just a moment. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I want you to notice, even in the verses preceding the verse we're going to use, because we're going to use verse 5, but I'd like you to notice what Paul is saying starting in verse 2. Paul says, but I beg you that when I am present, I may not be bold with that confidence by which I intend to be bold against some. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 10, the last part of verse 2. This is what I want you to notice. Who think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk or in the flesh, in other words, in these bodies, we do not war according to the flesh as far as the way that the fleshly mind thinks. So you see, we're dealing with it right here. The flesh and the spirit, the truth and the false. And notice in verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or fleshly, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. Now follow carefully in verse 5. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought captive or into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Now picture it just for a moment with me. We're going to set up the SDI, the Spiritual Defense Initiative. As someone who's walking in the Spirit, living in the Spirit, I have a mindset in the Spirit. When a fleshly thought comes up, what do I do with it? Someone give me an example. Tell me a fleshly thought. I mean, something decent, but still a fleshly thought. General terms, yes.
I want to punch that person
out. All right, okay. We'll put that in the category of anger, okay? Or outburst of anger. I want to punch him in the nose, huh? All right, so when you have a thought like that, what do you do with it? If it goes to your heart, comes through your lips, makes a fist with your hand, and you take action, you know you've gone the way of the flesh, right? Okay? So what do you do with a thought like that? As soon as that thought comes into your mind, here's what you got to do. Okay? All right. If you make the offer of the punch the guy in the face, you got to follow through with what we're going to do with the thought. You stop that thought right where it's at. Say, now wait just a minute. And you take the thought, as it were, bind it. Wait right here. I've got to go check with the Lord to see if I should let you get any further than my mind. Go check with the Lord. Follow right through the Word. He says, putting away all wrath. From the book of Ephesians, that's where that verse comes from. And then you take that thought, you turn that thought around, and you kick it right out of your mind. You say, I'm not even going to think about you anymore. You see, As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. If we allow the thought to take ground, then it covers our first front line of defense. But the spiritual defense initiative is to stop it. Where? In the mind. Tell me another fleshly thought. That's the only one?
Lust.
Well, I tell you what, we live in a day, all you have to do is just open your eyes. And the thought's coming right through. But when a thought of lust comes into your mind, if you think about it for long, remember where it goes? Right from your head down to your heart, and then up to your lips. So you've got to catch it at the front line of defense. So when the lustful thought comes, what do? Stop right there. Don't go any further. Put them in captivity and say, now I'll be right back. And you go to the Word, check with the obedience of Christ. What about this lustful thought? You know what the Lord's going to say? Don't do it. Don't give in to it. And so you take that lustful thought, and essentially what you're doing is you're dismissing it. Give them a good swift kick if you want, and out of your mind. And I'll tell you, there's only one way to accomplish these things. Because if all we had to do was just to say, I'm not going to think that, I'm not going to think this, I'm not going to think that, pretty soon we'd be airheads, wouldn't we? Wouldn't be thinking anything. There's only one way to keep it from coming back. And it's an ongoing process. I want to tell you what that way is. The replacement method. One more verse, if you will. Over to the book of Romans, chapter 12. We mentioned it earlier, but let's see what it is. Whether it's wrath, whether it's lust, whether it's lying, stealing, coveting, murder. You know, the Lord said these things all take place in the mind, and they all come right out of the heart. And if you think and look with these things, as far as God's concerned, it's already committed. And so He says, don't do it. But there's only one way, really, to have this kind of control, and that's life in the Spirit. And this life in the Spirit is a brand new life. And so He tells us in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world. You know, that's where the flesh is at. The world, the flesh, and the devil are always trying to squeeze even those who believe and are not of this world, even though we're in this world, to think the thought we used to think, to be conformed to this world. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I want to give that another twist, please. Not twisting the scriptures, but I'd like to give that another angle. The renewing of our mind is the replacement of thoughts. I want to think the thoughts of the Spirit. The only way I can replace wrath is to actually have a compassion for others. And that compassion can only come from the Lord. The only way I can replace lust is rather than look with fleshly, lustful eyes, is to look at people with the love of Christ, a genuine love that sees other women, contemporaries, as sisters in Christ, other men as brothers in Christ, and you see, as the family, you never have those kinds of lustful thoughts. Only the Lord can give us the replacement thought that will be life in the Spirit, giving us the guarantee of the spiritually minded person who walks in the Spirit and not fulfills the lust of the flesh, because we're enjoying the life and the peace that the Spirit of God can give. Next time we're going to be looking at being indwelt by the Spirit. But today we've just been talking so far about living in the Spirit. As we think in our mind, determines how we walk in our life. And if we walk in the Spirit, we'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Let's close my part with just a little word of prayer, and I know you've got some activities ready to go. Let's pray. Father, once again, we just pray now that You would take Your Word and apply it to our lives and our hearts, that we might not sin against You. But Lord, when we have wrong thoughts, help us to take them captive unto the obedience of Christ, and then deal with them as you would have us do, by dismissing them forever. And Lord, even when they come back that day or the next day, help us to use the replacement method and have the renewing of our mind, that we might be transformed and conformed to the image of your Son. We pray as we commit ourselves to you for the rest of this day, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thanks for listening so well. Brother Chris.